the Lord. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. It is an honor to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Now the Spirit, reading from chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with that hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the word of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but good godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Amen. Verse 7, the end of it, it says, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now is and that which is to come. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Amen. Would you bless us today, Lord? Would you give us, Lord, of God, a tug in our hearts, oh Lord, to live for you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. The greatest challenge for anyone is to find the need and be a part of the future outcome. We might not see our efforts materialize while we are alive, but in the eyes of faith, be able to see them again when we meet in heaven. The influence of Jesus is still burning in my soul. He is the reason why my heart is receptive and it responds to his prompting, because everyone has a reason to meet Jesus, the Savior of the soul, of the one who hungered for truth that will not fail. All his promises are amen. And this is from a man that's lived for the Lord almost 40 years. Every promise of God is amen. And I want to answer that question for you at the end of this, because I believe that God is challenging me as a servant of the Lord and may perhaps challenging you. And so we are going, I will tell you what it will be at the end. I spend, it's important to you to understand why am I embarked into a four-month endeavor of studying and bringing to you a message each week for the last 4 months. And you might not even notice that. That's how fast time goes by. But I spent the last 4 months trying to give an explanation why people leave the church. Okay? And I asked God, because it's hard to answer that question, right? It is hard to answer the question why people leave the church. And I was told this by a lady that had visited our church in the month of June, the first week of June, the Saturday before June actually began. And see, I perceive, you know, I mean, like all of you, I don't want you to get offended about things that we talk about it, because I could have got offended as a pastor, but I want you to know that she said to me, he said, why do people leave the church? Are you a bad pastor or something? You know, are you not doing the right things? And it left a mark in my brain to answer that question. And the first thing that I said to her was, because I perceived that she was rebuking me, right? I mean, don't you think that that would have been the case? She was praying. She was reading the word. She was agonizing for God. But let me tell this, and I believe that you need to understand this. None of us could come to the place where we can say, you know, I am Miriam. And I am just as godly as you are. I perceive that God could talk to me about my situations in life. I don't need you to tell me how to live. And I begin to realize this as spirit, okay? And all of us have that spirit. And honestly, you have that spirit. At some point in your life, you're going to tell your mom and dad, you know, I don't want to live for God. That's your God. It's not mine. But through the challenge of this this sister, I begin to realize that for the first couple weeks, 3 weeks, Brother Luis, and a month maybe, she was very obtuse about it. She's inputting things in my heart about God and what do you need to do, Pastor? And you need to do this. And I begin to realize, man, I am being rebuked. But the funny thing is that sometimes we can listen to voices to correct us, right? And they might have the right intentions. And sometimes I might have the right intention. You would say, well, but he's got the wrong motives, right? He's got the wrong motives. Pastor has the wrong motives. And you begin, we rationalize things. But let me tell you, the end result is that she's not around. I haven't heard one of her prophecies anymore. She's not praying with me anymore. She's not reading the Word of God anymore. And so what does that tell me? It tells me that that voice was maybe to rebuke me, but not for her, right? Not for her. I believe that the Word of God is good for all of us. Amen. If it's good for me, it's good for you. So with that thought in mind, I took 4 months to be able to reach out to my heart, to the Word of God, and to you for the answers. And we clearly saw the message that God gave me about the seed, right? I really do believe that God inspired in my heart to be able to see the analogy of the seed. Amen. In the last week, I shared with you about the power of one seed, right? And I took the liberty to pluck one of the seeds. I'm trying to find it. It's here. Out of my corn. So it's got 503 now. So because this might disappear anyway. So I have with me the power of one seed. And how insignificant it looks detached from the core, right? From the ear of corn. Okay, for you that are kind of timing me, it's 5 to 11. 5 to 12. Okay, please, I want you to stay, because if anything, this will be the service that will change your heart, or it will cause you to leave the church. The power of one seed, detached from the core of the whatever you call it, ear of corn, the cob. Thank you, brother man. It's insignificant, right? And that's what you are when you are detached from the body of Christ. You become insignificant, but yet very powerful if you die for it. The only way this seed can redeem itself is to die. And in order to die, must be buried to come alive and feed many. This little thing has that power. But on its own, it will become what? Bird food. It will become offended. This very same seed that I'm showing to you will become bird food. It will be happy to come to show, whoo, I'm ready to do this. It's powerful. I love it. And you become nothing but bird food. You walk out of that door and the devil takes away every little desire that you have to live for God. The second one we talk about it was the stony place. This little seed has the power to get offended about anything. About absolutely everything. Pastor said something. Somebody looked at them wrong. Somebody did something different. He meant offended and they die. They grow a little bit, you know, they're brothers in the Lord, they're in the church for a little bit, they grow, they're looking good, and they leave the church. I'm answering the question, why do people leave the church, Pastor? And it wasn't just me. It wasn't just talking about in general terms. It was talking to me. Why do people leave your church, Pastor? That's what the question was. And so I took 4 months to explain it. Today I'm going to try to show you one of the final elements of this. And so God said, take one seat today. Leave the cub at home. Just take one seat. And through this one seat, I want to show you the power of how powerful you really are. Amen. You are one piece of life. This is one part of 504 pieces. This is the 503 piece. And when you come to the riches of life, when things become too important for you to serve God, when your car becomes more important than God, when your job becomes more important to God, when you can just name it, when your marriage becomes more important to God. I had a friend that would tell me, Pastor, I can't help you on a Sunday morning because my family is important to me. And I said, well, what does that have to do with you helping me? Your family's in the church anyway. But he said, no, they're important. I got to sit with them. I can't help you. I said, okay, brother, that's good. Because that became more important. And everything it begins to be important to you. Maybe your lifestyle, whatever it is, it becomes important to the point that it chokes you. And you're not in the church anymore. Something caused you to leave the church, but it wasn't the right thing. And I'm going to tell you this because after 40 years of serving God and taking me, plucking me out of the country of Bolivia and bringing me to a soil, a fertile soil of God, and I was planted in the Word. Guess what? The first thing that happened to me, I realized that in order for me to become a powerful influence to a generation that perhaps you don't even know. Who knows that if 50 years from now there was this Bolivian that came to America and he preached the gospel and I was baptized, I was saved, then today there is a great church. One seed can make a difference. And so when that seed is planted, you're going to find some real things, people. You can do something with this seed. You can put it in a little jar with a little paper towel and you can have a corn grow. It's not the right environment because you're going to have to plant it somewhere on dirt. And the only way to find God, the true meaning for your life, is to plant yourself in the Word of God. Because the Bible says that is the important thing. Amen. If you are baptized in Jesus' name, you receive the Holy Ghost and you grow in. You're going to find that there is going to be a fruit someday. I'm telling you, God created the genetics of this little seed to produce fruit. Right. And He created in your genetics to produce fruit. So our final part of life should be that you will die with some brothers around you. Spiritual brothers. If you die alone, it's because you want to die alone. And so that seed, in order for me to do this, and I believe, I hope you're perceiving what God is trying to tell us as a church. The seed here will never get there. I'm talking about us and thinking of what was here a couple weeks ago. The soil there needs to be some serious repentance for this seed to go from here to there. I don't want to be this seed anymore. I don't want to look like this anymore. I don't want to be separated anymore. I want to produce things. That's repentance, my man. Yeah. Repentance of being so proud to be a seed. I got all the potential of the world. Every one of you have a great potential in God. But unless you repent of your life and you say, you know what? I'm not going to be bird food. I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to let the riches of this world kill me. I am going to produce. And you repent of what you really are. And you allow God to make some serious production out of you. Hallelujah. Now notice here. We spoke about four types of soil. The hardened soil, the shallow soil, the contaminated soil, and the receptive soil. And I believe those things were given to your pastor by inspiration, okay? To inspire you. What am I? Look at your life. What are you? Are you bird food? You come every Sunday, you're so excited, walk out of the door, and you lose every victory that you just gained. Are you the stony place where you come to church, you're excited, you walk out of that place offended? You are so offended about everything. People are not living right, people are hurting your feelings, people are doing things to you, and you are offended. Or you are the person that riches is so important to you, your money is so important to you. I think I'm talking to somebody. Your money is so important, you're not going to give one penny to God. Oh man, please, you got to hear me from the aspect that God is trying to tell me why people leave the church. So that's going to be your God. Okay. Honor God with thy substance. So Timothy was given a charge, and we read about that. So we talk about Tom Monahan, the owner of Pizza, Domino's Pizza, and his failures in life. None of you will become nothing significant unless you understand that to accomplish something, it requires sacrifice. Man, I'm telling you, it is a sacrifice. Don't tell me that I don't feel the sacrifice when I give to God. Don't tell me that when I pay tithes and offerings or pray to support the senior center or we come here and we do stuff, that is not a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. But we bypass the glory of the sacrifice for the glory of Him who called us to be servants. Are you listening to me? A servant has no rights because somebody paid for them. So my money then becomes servant to God. And you might say, well, that's not right, Pastor. It's okay, you can get offended. But I discovered in 40 years that living for God and honoring Him and everything that I do is worth it. Don't cheat on God because you think He can cheat Him. He will let you cheat. That's the problem with God. But not at the end. Remember what Ananias and Sapphira said. Is this all you made? And I believe that God can talk to our hearts. Is this all you are made of? Is this all you think about yourself? You will die being that. And that's what happened. They said, yes, that's what we are. And some of us diminish ourselves to the fact that He said, is that all you are? And you go, that's all I am. But you can be better. You can give everything to God and He will bless you. Amen. What do we do? Amen. We come, and I talk to a lot of people. They say, that's all I am, Pastor. I'm a loser. I'm a drug addict. I'm an alcoholic. That's all I am. And I don't see that in them. I see a person that is going to grow in power and the strength of the Lord and become a great evangelist, become a great soul winner. That's what I see. But it is you that puts the tag on you. And He says, this is all I am. Poor me. This is what I am. This is all I am. I to some, believe it or not, is I can't speak the language. I said, what? So you're going to put a tag on you that says I can't speak the language? No, go beyond that. Master it. No, don't just learn it, but master it. Become proficient. So if you're going to put a tag on you that says, I'm not a good Christian. Well, Christ can't put that tag on you. You're going to have to put it on yourself. And the enemy perhaps will have to put that on you and says, this is for sale. I'm telling you, I'm not for sale. I'm not going to sell myself to the devil for any price. Because I know that my Redeemer liveth and I will see Him face to face someday. So we do know that Tom suffered greatly, right? Tom, The story of Tom perhaps could be yours. 1960, he worked for 8 years struggling to make this pizza go, and it doesn't go, it gets burned. 8 years later, I look it up, the facts. 8 years later, his second attempt ended in bankruptcy. 8 years later, brother, you can read the book. I think Brother Lopes might have it, and Brother Ramon might have it. But I think you should Google it. Forget the book. Google it. And I think you need to Google. Okay, Google, does God love me? See what he answers to you. He might answer to you, yes, God loves you. Amen. But you might say, no, he doesn't love me because I'm a sinner. That's not true. In 1970, he made his third attempt with $1.5 million in debt. And he said, I got to turn this baby around. And you know what he did? He started home delivery. And today we have home delivery. And not only that, but 7,400 locations in 50 countries. One seed that says, I'm not going to be bird food. I'm not going to be offended about because life is bad. He had the right to be offended. The bank gave him for his per building 1 cent to the dollar. He had every right to be offended. They don't love me. Hell, I pay insurance. Yeah, I do complain about like that. I pay insurance for it, and they didn't pay me nothing. Or you can get offended and walk away. Tom could have walked away and said, you know what? This is not worth it. I'm walking away. But Tom chose to, and the story tells us that Tom chose to turn it around. I believe that some of us need to turn our lives around. Man, stop putting tags on you. Henry Ford did the same thing, right? He went bankrupt 5 times, and he decided, I'm not going to let failure kill me. So how many times have you failed God? How many times have we failed God? For me, it's many times. But repentance is the wheel that brings you right back to God. Yeah. Amen. So we do know that Henry Ford, when he was asked, what makes you so successful? And his only answer was, when you started, finish it. And I believe as Christians, we can take this word from Henry Ford. It says, if I'm going to be a Christian, if I'm going to start living for God, I'm going to finish this. Amen. And I think that determination causes people to stay in church. Yeah. Why do people leave the church? You answer that. So the Sunday school teacher, Edward Campbell, was another influence. One single seed in April 21st, 1855. Why is it Mark? Why is it Mark that day? You know, because all of us have dates, don't you? Right? You have a date. Alyssa, you have a date. I'm telling you, you have a date. You say, you're going to have a baby. You say, my baby was born this day and this hour, this way. Right, Sister Aurora? We have a date in our hearts and our minds. And we also should have a date when we say yes to God. And I'm telling you, I remember saying yes to God in this little church. And I say, God, I am going to serve you no matter what. And it hasn't been easy. It hasn't been easy. If you think the victory in life is so easy, go ahead and embark in it. But don't give up on your vision. So from 1855 to the great orators of William Chapman and Billy Sunday, eventually coming to Billy Graham, a well-renowned evangelist. It was one man that made a difference. It is one Sunday school teacher that walked in the shoe food store and said, hey, my young man, you're nice. I want you to come to church this Sunday. He came to church and he gave his heart to the Lord. And on, and Billy Sunday, the same way. Billy Sunday gave his heart to the Lord. He said, I'm not returning to you. And all of these people had something very common in their lives. They were winners. Let me tell you this, if you don't want to win something, you will have a bad salesman attitude. You will go to the house and you say, I wish they don't open the door. I wish they don't buy anything for me. I'm so afraid. And you discourage them to buy anything from you. How many of us have been that kind of Christian when somebody asks us, oh, you live for God? What can I do to be saved? Well, how do I need to live? And we go, you know what? You know, maybe not be for you because, you know, we got to be holy. We got to be righteous. We got to give tithes and all that kind of stuff. You know, I don't think you want to do that. Right? And I believe that that's not right. I believe that when you're encouraged in the Lord, I mean, I don't have a problem telling them how my success is pan out for heaven. I believe that heaven is going to be a glorious place, and I don't want to be able to miss heaven just because I don't want to die to myself. I'm going to die with my money. Remember what we talked about? Nobody goes to heaven with anything. Jesus said, be happy with what you have. You can't take anything to heaven. So we know that Wilbur Chapman, Billy Sunday, Billy Graham, perhaps all of these people have something in common. Now, do what you can each day is what I had for you. And I've read the passage for you that there will be times, and they're coming, that people will lie to us. Right? They will say, all you need to do is come to an altar and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. You are saved forever. And that's not true. That's the beginning of your life where you actually plant yourself and you begin to grow. Salvation is not for you just to be at home and be at your job and never change. Salvation has to do with God. And so we talk about the greatest challenge for anyone is to find the need and be a part of the future outcome. You know, when I found the church, I found the need. I found that there was a multitude of people that have not been baptized in Jesus' name, have not received the Holy Ghost, and they are not living for God. They are not giving to God. They're not honoring God with their lives. They are hurt people. They have a lot of offenses. They have a lot of pain and sorrows. And I said, man, I want to make a difference. I'm going to live for God and I'm going to try to be an example for them. And don't think that I have not been offended many times. And don't think that I have not thought about questioning my own pastor, right, Sister Tapia? I questioned my own pastor. I said, Pastor, do I have to pay tithes? Why? He said, son, just do it. He was an old man. He said, just do it, son. Just do it. And in the wisdom of this old man, I discover the abundance that God had for me. So you discover that for yourself because I can't show you that. You have to discover yourself. And let's stand. Jesus tells us something very significant. Amen. I appreciate you being here today. Amen. And it's been 20 minutes since you've been listening to me. 20 minutes, okay? 20. And it seems like an eternity, right? It does. You feel like you've been here 3 weeks. Jesus said, and as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. I'm reading from Mark chapter 13. They were amazed of their achievements. And you might be just like one of those. You say, God, look at this. Look at these beautiful buildings. Look at the wall on my look at the wall here in my living room, all the accolades that I have. All the achievements, doctorates, and all of that, you know. Isn't that beautiful? This is what Jesus said. He said, Master, this is beautiful. The stones are beautiful. The buildings are beautiful. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? When he talks about you and me, if we're going to build something, I'm going to give you the answer, people. And I believe that the answer is very, very clear. So he said, look at this. Jesus will answer to you. And Jesus answered, said unto them, seest thou these buildings? There shall be not one left stone upon another that shall not be overthrown. Things that are not built to glorify God. Jesus realized that he was a foreigner in his own house. Right? He walked to the temple and they recognized him. He chased the money chambers, the money exchangers and all of those people. He said, this is my house. And I had no doubt somebody said, I'm going to see you in court, man. You can't do this to us. I'm going to see you in court. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to give you the revelation. Just give me a second. But Jesus said, everything that you see, it will be overthrown. The Bible says that this world will perish. Everything that you're building right now, whatever it is that you're building, whatever you think it will last forever, it won't. Jesus said, I will make all of that crumble. Now, there's a secret to this. And he began to say, verse 5, take heed lest any man deceives you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and they shall deceive many. Why do people fall from the church? They are deceived. Deceived by riches, deceived by their own glory, deceived by their own judgment. Okay, take heed for yourselves. For they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten. And you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. When they shall lead you to deliver you up, to take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given in that hour, that speak. For it is not you that speaks, but the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 13, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Isn't that amazing? If I have one desire, it's that when I am saved, Lord, I run the course. I did ask the people to do it with me. God, I run. I trusted you in my faith. And I'm now ready to be give up, like Paul said. Can you say to yourself, have you done your best? Can you say to yourself, oh yes, God, I gave to the poor. Oh yes, God, I was obedient to you. Oh yes, God, I gave it my best shot. Oh God, I went to school. I accomplished things. Oh God, yes, I did my best. Remember Matthew 25? Did Jesus talk about the accolades that we can find for ourselves and the plaques on the wall? He said, have you fed the poor? Have you clothed the poor? Right? How do you think that's going to happen? We are the most unmerciful people sometimes. How is it going to happen? By you. You're going to answer to God how you behave in life. Nobody could answer it for you. He that endureth unto the end. Why endure things, right? Why can't it be just peachy, Brother Lopez? Why don't we just live for God and glide through life? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory. And we go from glory to glory, from cloud to cloud. Oh, victory here. Victory here. Trophies. Plaques. Honor and glory. Endure to the end. That means endure means to take the challenge. Aralene, take the challenge and said, you know what? If my kids are gonna see some victories, because I'm gonna be the victorious. Right? You're going to have to be the victorious. You're going to have to be the person that stands up every morning and says, I'm going to win this one. I'm going to work for God. Now, I'm going to give you the reason now. And I wrote this down because I think it's important for you to hear me out. So from June to September, the response to the question, why people leave the church, has dominated my attention, has been the center of my thoughts, and here is one of them. If you want to hear all of them, you need to come back to church. But I'm going to give you one of them, why this happens. Number one, no altar to worship. You know why? Because you didn't build one. You cannot worship in altars that you did not build. You know why God did not answer by fire to the people of Jezebel? You know why? I mean, common sense. This is what God gave me. And I think you need to understand. Because that altar was not built to glorify God. They were calling on Baal. Right? They were calling on a separate God, and God was not going to answer by fire, because Elijah's point was, if this God be true God, let him answer by fire. And so is the altars in church. You know why I come and maybe worship the Lord? My wife said, why don't you go up there and just worship the Lord? And I began to realize, God, you are the foundation of my altar. You know why you can't build an altar? Because the foundation has been eroded by something. And so that altar, and I begin to realize this. The first stone that I put in that altar was my very own life. I said, God, this rock here is my repentance. I am very sorry. I repent of my life, and I'm going to put this on top of your foundation. And I begin to build this altar in my life of repentance, water baptism, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and living for God the best I could. And the altar began to take shape. And I begin to put other things around that altar. You know, when God healed me, I put another stone there. And God said, God, this is where you showed up. And I'm going to come back to this thing, God. And when God began to heal me, he healed me of many things, especially my back. And recently, Brother Luis, you know that we trust God for things. And God gave us an $8,000 roof, right? And guess what I did? I said, God, this has got to be you. So I'm going to give you the glory. I'm going to put another rock on your altar. And if I want God to answer me by fire, if I want God to answer me, it's because there is an altar built and all the memories that God has done for me throughout 40 years of life. 40 years building altars. And you know what? You can't use my altar to worship God. You're going to have to build your own altar. And the only fire that's going to come is probably not going to be God, if that altar doesn't have a foundation. And you know, I realize when I come to worship the Lord, I'm coming just for more than just worshiping the Lord. I'm saying, oh God, thank you. Thank you that I can walk. Thank you that I can lift my hands. God, this altar is mine. And I'm going to worship you in this altar, oh God. I'm going to thank you for my health. I'm going to thank you for my 9 kids. I'm going to thank you for my 9 grandkids. I'm going to thank you for my wife. And I thank you for my job. And I begin to thank, because it's built an altar. If God is going to answer by fire, it's going to answer to an altar. You know why God does not answer to us? It's because we don't have an altar where we can bow down and say, oh God, please forgive me. Help me. Jesus, I need you. And if you don't have an altar today, you might be living for God 30 years, 20 years, I don't care. But if you don't have an altar where you can go and surrender yourself to that altar and says, God, I'm here to worship you. I'm here because of what you've done in the past for me. I'm here because you need to save me, God. Even if this is the foundation, oh God, I want to build an altar.